This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I survive St. Patrick's Day as we talk about Alarmist, Alter, Corridor, all of that while sipping some haze from Forbidden Root. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, what's up, everyone? Brad Chmielewski here.
What's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And have another episode of Chicago Beer Pass. Back drinking. Actually, never stopped.
It doesn't stop,
man. Never stops. So this week, I know I talked about it last time, was the Ghost Tropic from Forbidden Root.
Yeah.
So here are the cans. Brought them in this week. And so you're finally getting to taste it. What do you think?
Yeah, this is nice. It's this artwork's really trippy, man. It reminds me of something I would see at the House of Blues. You know, big octopus in the middle, and there's a lot of stuff going on. There's like seafood and some weird lady and like some old timey glows.
But yeah, this is their New England IPA. I think it was double. I guess they're double IPA technically, but you know, it's got that haze. It's juicy. It's hazy. It's
it's juicy. It's hazy. there's a lot. There's some booze in it. It just has a nice kick to it.
Yeah, 8.2%. So. But again, I think I mentioned it last week, the four packs were, what, $17 or something like that? So pretty pricey if you're looking to take some cans home of this, but they probably don't even have cans anymore.
Chicago is the Black Lake, deep as a whistling mile. There's like some poetry on here. Chicago is a burly yellow monster that swims the night sky. Brad, what the hell's going on here, man? I'm so confused. Like, I'm reading it, and there's like, you know, like a there's like a paragraph on here, and I'm like, I'm still not really clear on just what Ghost Tropic is, man.
Like, what do you mean? It's just a double IPA.
That's, all right, we're gonna roll with that.
Here to get you get it's down to party.
I like how they you know, the art's by a guy named Tony Fitzpatrick, and they're like. Giving him a shout on his, they got his website on the can. And then, you know, this is the tall boy can, you know, the with the beer label on it, the clear can with the beer label.
Yeah.
Oh, but usually their stuff doesn't look like this.
No, it's usually in bottles.
Yeah.
And I don't even think they've really started doing cans. So now that they're canning these somewhere, they got to be canning them at their brewery and then releasing them.
Yeah.
Because that's where I bought it. So.
Right on.
But yeah, having it now, what, a week and a half later, it's still a fantastic beer.
Yeah, very good stuff. You know, I was having a bad day, and this is cheering me right up, man.
All right, you know? Nice. So yeah, we got a couple more cans. We'll make it through those as we talk about our past week and some of the events coming up this weekend. You should be checking out.
How was your St. Patrick's Day, man?
It was pretty solid. Like, so St. Patrick's Day fell on a Saturday. I did not really go out on Saturday. I tried to avoid that craziness.
Sure.
But Friday night ended up over at Lady Gregory in Andersonville.
Oh, right on.
And then Maeve and I went to the Irish Heritage. It's not a museum, but they took over an old school up north, and it's kind of like their facility now. So they had music. Right, they do fish fries on Friday because it's Lent.
Yeah.
And then they just have other events there. I went for a Yelp event. Years ago.
Oh, at that same place?
Yeah.
I like seeing the heritage centers, you know, like cruising down Tui. I saw a few this weekend because of the move.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was cool. Like, Irish music they were playing, guys on playing the tin whistle and things like that.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's like a whistle. Like, they're sometimes made out of wood, but I think they used to be made out of tin. So, yeah, they were singing and playing. Lots of people... dancing, drinking, tons of green.
Right on.
Drinking Guinness, drinking some Smithix.
Yeah, Smithix.
I think I had some Guinness Blonde as well. That's their, like, American lager, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Guinness, had the phone interview, like we were saying last week after the show. Chatted with those guys. They were in New York partying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're doing stuff like, you know, the New York Stock Exchange. And, you know, they're going on, like, the Today Show. And they're, like, taking time to, you know, talk about New Year's Eve. St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, we talked about that brewery that they built, the Guinness guys, in Maryland.
In Baltimore, right?
Baltimore, yeah, Baltimore County. And they were saying that it's supposed to replicate their innovation brewery in Dublin.
Oh, okay.
So there's St. James Gate where the production is, and then around the corner is the Open Gate Brewery, and that's where all their one-off stuff is made.
Oh, okay. Yeah. When I was in Ireland, I only went to the big main one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because they just opened it to the public.
Oh, okay. Like, that's why I didn't go. Makes so much sense.
So apparently, like, this is a sister to that brewery, you know, and the whole plan is just to make stuff you haven't seen from Guinness before at this new location.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, so that was cool. What else? Oh, and all the mainline stuff is going to be imported still. They're not making like Guinness here.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Are we posting that on Chicago Beer Pass? Are you posting that on Chicago Beer Geeks? Where's that audio interview going?
Let's post that.
Yeah, all right.
It's just pictures and words, I think. It was like audio for audio notes.
Okay.
But yeah.
Cool. So
it'd be cool to have like the way we're talking about it now, and then we can like reference quotes to it and like inject audio. Yeah. You know, that would be cool. But that seems like a lot of work.
You could record your phone calls, right?
Yeah.
But I guess you need to tell them, like, by the way, I'm recording this call.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you did you do anything else on St. Patrick's Day? That was kind of mine and
No, I drank a little bit of Breckenridge has a year-round offering that came out, conveniently enough, around St. Patty's Day.
Okay.
It's a dry Irish stout using Irish malts, and it's in a nitrogen can. Surprise, surprise. It's 4.5%. Surprise, surprise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, right? So they've had this beer, apparently, but now it's in nitro cans and it has a new label, and the label's pretty slick.
Okay.
So had a few of those. Oh, and I made my way over to Alarmus, man. You were talking about Alarmus. I was on the expressway. I'm like, I feel like it's up this way, so let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went by there, said hi to Gary Gully. Super nice, cool guy.
Awesome.
You know, I got a crowler. They got the cool crowler machine. Got a crowler of the haze. And then I got a 4-pack of Entrenched, which is their mainline IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, dude? It was, it reminded me a lot of Alpha King.
Entrenched it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not in color. Alpha King's a lot darker. Alpha King's got like a copper color to it. This had, your traditional, kind of golden IPA color. But the flavor, the profile reminded me of that, where it's like a very, like a plenty of like bittering hops in it.
Okay. You know? I guess. So, yeah, I haven't had Alpha King and I haven't had Alpha King in a long time. I haven't had Entrenched in a while, so
yeah.
I would need to have them side by side.
But it was nice, man. There was like some lemon notes in there and some caramel notes in there and some booziness. That was all kind of like buried under these. Like it was like a very bold hop profile.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it a lot. So
yeah, that and Pantsless are kind of like their mainstay cans that you can find around the city, buy at the brew pub, brewery there.
And I was glad he didn't take the citrusy, orangey notes. And he didn't take that route with the hops. He put in like some hops that gave it like a firmer profile. I like that.
The classic.
Yes. Yeah. before all these cute citrus forward beers came out.
Yeah, but he's got that going on too, so that's nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. That place was packed. They had a violin. They had two females. One was playing a violin, one was playing a harp. And they were doing their St. Paddy's Day thing, you know. Everybody's rocking green, and there's like a special on like the Irish inspired food, all that jazz.
Oh, very.
It was a good time in there. Nice. So, yeah.
Speaking of the haze, I made it over to Corridor.
Right on.
Last night for dinner, and they had two great beers. I posted a picture of one on our Instagram account, the Neon Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had the Bendy Straw, which they were both. They looked like this. No, they looked even thicker and more milkshakey than even this Ghost Tropic does.
Yeah. These beers are, you cannot see through.
Yeah.
You can't see through the haze,
both,
man.
The beers at Corridor were more mimosa-like.
Okay.
Than, like, something that's not quite what this Ghost Tropic is. It's different. Maybe more of the traditional flavor profile you tend to find in the New England IPAs.
Yeah.
But they were both really good, and yeah, I dug them. They also had like a blackberry Belgian or a blackberry Saison that the guy was with. He ended up grabbing one of those. So
blackberry Saison sounds nice.
Yeah,
you were talking about Atlas. I keep calling them Atlas. Burnt City.
Burnt City. Yeah, I did go over to Burnt City. I forgot about that. A lot of the like standard beers on. They had a huge barrel selection of things on their back menu. I'm not messing with those at a meetup.
You got to get in there, man. How are we supposed to know? What is it doing?
I got to keep my cool. I got business to take care of. I got a reputation to uphold, and that's not being passed out drunk.
Brad's drawing a line in the sand, man. Yeah, I love it.
I ended up drinking there at Burnt City. I was at whatever their session IPA was called, like, I don't know, inconclusive or indubious or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Man. I'd
have to check my untapped on that, but it's whatever their session pale ale IPA was. It's around 4%.
Yeah. Very pleasant artwork in there.
Mm-hmm.
It made me want to go, like, have a room dedicated to beer artwork when I got that inspiration from Atlas. I love what they do in there with that stuff.
Yeah, it's a nice spot. It's just, it is dark.
A little bit.
Like, it's...
A little bit.
It's like dive bar-y dark kind of vibe a little bit, because it's an old Chicago, so the bowling alley was there, so it's an old place. So.
You gotta, you get the pencil and the paper to keep your score
bowling. I've never bowled there.
Yeah, it's very old school. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, and it's only like 5 lanes. It's like, yeah.
Nice.
It's a trip.
So I didn't post any pictures from that, so I almost forgot. I think I posted a few things on our Insta stories when I was there, but nothing, no actual Instagram photos.
Right on.
Those were my stops this past weekend, unless I'm completely blanking on anything. But yeah, lots of Guinness was had. Had to dive into that, right? Had to
drink some Guinness. I mean, it's a good time of the year to get reconnected to, you know, the old world and stuff like that, you know. Yeah.
I saw a few posts on Twitter just from beer people who dove into Guinness again because that was the appropriate thing to do. And they're like, I forgot how good this beer is.
Yeah.
It is a beer that just, like, it's not filling. It is light in taste, and it has that richness that's not so much coffee, but it's like that toffee chocolate kind of taste to it.
Yeah, and you'll see there are some fun beers nowadays that have, like, you know, you can find an IPA with nitro. You can find other, you know, you can find different styles on nitro. But, I mean, no one was putting nitro to beers before those guys were. And then no one was putting nitro beers in a can before those guys were. 1759. You're talking 200 years.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to be said about that. I think it wasn't until, like, it was really the world's first global beer was Guinness, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, from 1759 till, like, 1959, when, like, Budweiser passed it as the world's top-selling beer. But, I mean, they do things in a way that's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy what they're about.
And it was a way very early on in craft beer to be like, I like something different.
Yeah.
Like, there was a group of people who were saying, I'm Irish, I drink dark beers. There was that group, but then there was also the group that was like, I don't want a lager. I want a dark beer. I want to taste that. I drink Guinness. And so they kind of stood out, and like they made that line in the sand. Hey.
So, yeah. Cool. When you consider, just one more note, when you consider, like, you know, the brewing history of other European countries, you know, like, you know, Germany and Belgium and even London, which I think England, I think, tried to occupy Ireland at one point, I think, right? my history sucks. But when you look at these places, right, that are revered places, it's really cool that little green island, like, has, like, this massive exposure from this one product, you know, and it's cool. So,
yeah, it helps that they're also just drunk in general, the Irish.
Yeah, right on.
So cool. Anything else did you hit up, check out?
Oh, one more thing, man. I went out to Alter Brewing in beautiful Downers Grove, Illinois. Nice. So that's about 25 miles west of the city. Yeah.
You take the train. Did you take the train?
Take the train. Yeah. You know, I knew the Alter guys from, you know, like their like, I want to say their homebrewing days, you know, like, I know those guys before Alter started. I can't remember from where, but yeah, man, they established in 2015. Right. And then, I wanted to go, they got 12 beers on draft.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had the, what did I have? Oh, the Denali Llama. That's their double IPA with Denali.
That's a fun name.
Okay. Yeah, it's got a Denali hops in it. Oh, and then this King Ballantine, which is a cherry wheat ale.
Cool.
Right. And that cherry wheat ale is the base beer for King's Blood, which is a beer that they've won medals for at FOBAT 2 years in a row.
Nice.
And the fruit beer category. And that's what drew me out. I was like, I want to see what these guys are doing. And, dude, they got – it's nice. It's the classic, you know, oh, look, there's an industrial park. And then this industrial park, there's a brewery. Like,
down,
you know,
there,
like, I think
yeah.
most breweries are like that.
For sure.
You know? Yeah, and this is that. But it was really well done.
Cool.
Like, they look like they got some – like, they put some money into that thing. Like, it's all the classic elements, just really, really nice to look at. So we threw a few pictures up on IG. And you should check those out.
And you you dug their beers overall, too?
Yeah, I really liked King Ballantine, and I really liked the Denali Llama. That's all I had.
Okay.
And then I got out of there.
Yeah, just an in-and-out kind of quick stop.
In-and-out, man. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to Rogers Park, so I should probably get the hell out of here.
You should be drinking those Northside breweries. Go up, you know, Highland Park, Ravinia. You know?
I want to hit Empirical. Empirical is the closest one to the new spot now. And they occupy an old, like, movie theater, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, the Empirical Pub.
Oh, cool. Okay. So, yeah, those are our stops this past week.
Yeah.
What, out of all the things you were drinking, all the stops you made, was there a best thing you drank this week?
Man, I'm going to go with Entrenched because I had the haze.
Whoa.
I had the haze in the crowler. And it put me in the right state of mind because I was, you know, I'm always stressed. I've said that twice now, you know, but beer just makes me happy. It's like the happy button,
yeah.
You know, but then the haze got me there. But then it was Entrenched where I was like, whoa, I was taken aback at how like, it's not an old style of IPA.
No, no, not at all. Yeah.
But it's the type of IPA that I haven't had in a while because I don't think people are making IPAs quite like that.
Yeah.
You know, so. I'm going to say Entrenched. Entrenched was nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, I want to say Neon Party, and I think that was a really good beer, but I'm never going to have it again.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it. So I would say Guinness. Like going back to exactly what you said with Entrenched, like it was familiar, it was nice, and Guinness was – I ended up having, I think, 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
Over the weekend on like Friday, Saturday, whatever. And it was just like, oh, every time it was like, this is just, it's perfect.
It's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can turn up the party and do some Irish whiskey shots if you choose.
Yeah. I also don't have to think about this beer.
Yeah.
Because it's solid and yeah.
It's true. Everything's in step on that beer.
Yeah.
It's not beer. I mean, it's not a bad beer. I noticed that Lone Wolf had some Irish. Some Guinness Stout on tap this weekend. $8 a glass. That's all you needed for that.
Yeah. But, yeah, saying the best thing you drink is Guinness.
It's kind of weird,
It's
right?
kind of weird, but Neon Party was really good.
Yeah.
And if I had to say, if I wasn't saying Guinness, I would say Neon Party, but I had so much, I forgot. Like, I just forgot about it. It's good, but it's not enough for me to tell all my friends to, like, let's go get this beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, well, cool. So that's our drinking this past week. What's coming up this week? What's on the calendar?
All right. Speaking of the haze, this is Corridor's sister brewery, Dry Hop. I think probably big sister. Dry Hop was first, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
Big Brother.
Big Brother. Big Brother Brewery, Dry Hop. They're having an event this week. It's the Haze Takeover. That's on Wednesday the 21st. That's at 5 p.m.
Okay.
So this serves as a launch party for their dry hop Victorian flavor DDH DIPA using Australian hops. It's a launch party for that, but then they're also having their friends who enjoy making the haze come out. So that would be Corridor, Hailstorm, Hop Butcher, Hubbard's Cave, Mars, and Old Irving.
Where's Maplewood on that?
Man.
They're all about that haze.
Maplewood is all about that haze. They're not in the cool kids club on this one, but yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I didn't even know Mars made hazy beers.
I haven't had a hazy beer from Mars.
They're cut. Put Maple on.
Out. Mars, you're out. Maplewood, you're up next. Yeah, so that's at Dry Hop.
Yeah. Cool.
That is Wednesday. And then also Wednesday in beautiful Ravenswood, Dovetail's throwing a party, man.
In Ravenswood?
In Ravenswood. Okay. They're throwing a party with their own beers. This event is called Thank You for Smoking. They're going to have a tap takeover with Barrel-Aged Rausch Doppelbox.
Oh, cool.
So Smoky Doppelbox.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's a ton of varietals, man. Koval Rye, Koval Bourbon, Buffalo Trace, Weller 107. And then they've got a barrel of Underberg. They're really big into the Underberg over there.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, it's a German kind of thing. Yeah. I've never really had it. I don't like it.
It comes in these little pony bottles with the little paper around it.
But it's all licorice flavor.
You got to be into licorice, I think, to like it, right? Yeah, but they have an Underberg barrel of Rausch beer as well. Yeah. So, and then they're also serving Trebbelwurst.
I don't know what Trebbelwurst is.
It's sausage that's been cooked in spent grains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I looked that up. I didn't know what Trebbelwurst was either. But yeah, apparently it's like big in Switzerland. So like, you know, they take the grapes and then they distill these grapes into some kind of spirit. And during that distillation process, steam comes off, and that steam is what cooks the sausage.
So they're over there, like, cooking their beer, steaming the sausages.
Right.
They're very energy efficient.
Yeah, so that's that. And a Dovetail, man. They're all about Dovetail. They're all about, like, the old world styles. Mm-hmm. So that's happening also on Wednesday. So a pair of events on Wednesday.
Damn.
Should we slide into Thursday?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, Thursday at the Beer Temple. Thursday is the 22nd already. At 7 p.m., the good folks at Wild Onion are going to be at Beer Temple, and they're going to do Barrel-Aged Drago three ways.
Barrel-Aged what?
Drago.
Drago.
So Drago is their Russian Imperial Stout, mm-hmm. named after the fighter in Rocky IV.
Oh, okay.
Ivan Drago, who beat Apollo Creed to death. That is cinematic excellence.
I don't remember
Brad.
Four.
Come on.
I don't remember
Dude,
four.
James Brown sang Living in America.
No, and I don't remember.
That was the walkout music to Apollo Creed, and Apollo Creed gets beat to death in the ring by Drago in Rocky IV.
I know there's that new Creed movie coming out. Like Creed, right?
Yeah, Creed 2, yeah.
Creed 2.
The first Creed was good.
Yeah, first Creed was good. But different Creed.
Yeah, so that's Creed's son. Oh, but yeah, so Drago. Oh, so they're playing Rocky IV that night.
Oh, so I could go see it.
You could. So Brad,
refresh my.
I've never been to the Beer Temple. I know it's the closest bar to your office.
No, Miska's is.
Oh, I know it's the second closest bar to your office.
No, Metropolitan's.
Fuck. This is gonna be at the Beer Temple. Oh, the three versions of Drago are, Drago, Sumatra Drago, and Vanilla Drago. Drago is the Russian Imperial Style, barrel-aged Russian Imperial Style.
I haven't thought or heard of Wild Onion in a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Just no fault of them, maybe more on me than anything. Just like I know they still exist, but I just haven't seen them or picked up any of their beer in a long time.
That's true. Yeah. I happened to be in Oak Park for a meeting, and I went to their Tide House. But yeah, I don't see Wild Onion as much as maybe I'd like to.
Yeah. Okay.
So this might be a good event to go to. Cool. That's Thursday.
Thursday night, Rocky IV Stouts.
Rocky IV and Drago at 7:30. That actually sounds pretty legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I got nothing for the weekend, but.
Whoa.
Nothing for Saturday. Nothing for Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything on Sunday?
Sunday out in Tinley Park at the Open Bottle is a Sunday fun size. Day.
Okay.
Yeah, Pollyanna. Pollyanna has those styles that are modeled after candy bars.
Okay, yeah.
So there's four variants: coffee, toasted coconut, maple, and a bourbon barrel-aged version.
Nice.
I really want to try this coconut one because, man, the Vlad coconut from Hailstorm. It's got me on a hunt for a coconut. Like, I'm trying breweries that I don't even typically drink.
Just because they got coconut? Because
there's a beer with coconut in it. I'm like, man. So that's at noon on Sunday at the Open Bottle. And then next week, Monday, the 26th, is Bell's Oberon Day.
Oh, man, that means spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. It's the first day of spring
today. It is the first day of spring, yeah.
33 degrees for your first day of spring there, Brad. What do you think of that?
I feel like we usually just have snow.
It's Chicago. Yeah. What are you going to do?
March sucks. But Bell's Oberon is here.
Yeah. So 5 p.m. at Sheffield's. So there'll be Bell's reps on tap. There are going to be swag, giveaways, and more.
And more. If I love more.
I wouldn't even go to this party if there was no and more.
What do you think? That's got to be really good for more brewing.
Yeah.
Could they just be like, all these breweries and more? But it's really the brewery.
As another place I really want to go.
Yeah.
Is more brewing.
So Bell's Overrun is here. Everyone is excited?
There are some people that are excited. Okay. I guess it's synonymous with spring. I think that's a reason to be excited. White Sox baseball in 9 days. I'm excited about that.
Nice. Okay.
But yeah. So Oberon is just a reminder that spring is here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, I usually end up drinking at least one.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, on draft, it's actually pretty enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like, Oberon's a good beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, in the power rankings, you'd have to put like Oberon and the one from Boulevard.
Okay.
Boulevard, you have to put those over 312 in the power rankings, I think.
Yeah, I think it falls in that like top five beach beers.
For sure.
We haven't done a list of our top five in a while.
The time is coming, man. We might need a refresh.
Summer's here, so maybe a top five beach beers. Oberon, I think it makes the cut.
Dude, it's not a beach beer, but this Forbidden Root, Ghost Tropic is pouring nice.
Yeah, you would not be getting home from the beach if you had this.
You're going to have to take a nap on the beach.
Yeah.
You might have to haul Postmates to bring you some food to the beach, man.
Cool. So that's all the events happening, or the ones we saw this past week. Be sure to follow our Facebook page. Over there, we usually share other events and when tickets go on sale. I know I saw tickets go up for during Illinois Craft Beer Week. There's the Booze Cruise that... what's his name? Kurt Foreman puts on. What's his name? So those are up. I think we shared that, or at least posted about that. Tickets for What the Ferk.
What the Ferk is coming up.
Mm-hmm. So be sure to check us out on Facebook. So we got some news happening, some beer news. You got an entire page in your book there. You
bet your ass.
What's first on here?
Right on. You talked about Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Mm-hmm.
The revamped Illinois Craft Beer Week. This was Chicago Craft Beer Week.
Yeah. So long, Chicago.
Yeah. The Chicago Gin Week guys fired off a tweet about how they knew that Chicago Gin Week would last longer than Chicago Craft Beer Week. They knew all along. What?
Laffler?
Yeah.
It's just Laffler. That is all of Chicago Gin Week.
Yeah. He's he's waving the flag for Chicago Gin Week. Oh, so Beer Under Glass, opening ceremony for Illinois Craft Beer Week. Tickets are on sale.
Nice.
This week. So that is this is the 9th annual party. This is the largest fundraiser of the year for the Guild, apparently. Yeah, because I think at one point it was the party in Oak Park was their largest event.
Oh, the Oak Park Microbrew?
Yeah, and that event still happens, but
it's not
a Guild event anymore. Yeah, so this is a $60 ticket, $80 for VIP. And tickets are on sale now. So... this is the best party in Chicago not named Phobat for me. That's what I think.
It's a great event. Yeah,
that's a badass
party. One of the guys in the office here, he grabbed tickets already. We are usually there repping the podcast, repping our media.
We've been to quite a few of these. It never gets old.
No.
And, you know, the real, you know, intro to spring is probably this party.
Well, to Beer Fest season.
Beer Fest season. That's better.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. There was one year that was really gross.
And then it rained and was all muddy.
And then they doubled down on the grossness because the one, like, grass field that you could walk on, they told you not to walk on it. So now you're forced to walk into these trenches that have formed because everyone's walking in the grass. It was that one year was intense. Other than that.
Yeah. But last year didn't sell out.
Really?
Or didn't sell out till way later.
Yeah.
I think just... I'm going to write something up about this Illinois Craft Beer Week, but we do a podcast every week.
Yeah.
Every week is Craft Beer Week for us.
This is true. So it kind of, and then I think what we talked about this, you know, about a year ago, like, you know, there was the opening and close ceremony you always could, you know, hang your hat on, you know, you always look forward to. But then like last year, there was like a huge gap for us as far as like things that excited us. I think there's, you know, there's a drinking and riding event, and then there's, you know, Goose does a dodgeball tournament in a mm-hmm. steel cage, which is always pretty rad.
The Hop Review guys do their Freshies.
Fresh Fest or Fresh Fest was the 80s rap fest.
It's not called Freshies.
They should call it Freshies or the Fresh Fest.
The Fresh.
What's it called?
Fresh One? The Fresh
it's
One?
Some, Stay Fresh? I was at that party, too.
That's the Ziploc, I think, slogan. Stay Fresh.
Man, what's that? Is it Ultra Fresh? Yeah, I think it's Ultra Fresh.
They're going to, like, next time they see us, they're really, you jerk. Like,
thanks for remembering our party, Nick. It was a good party, though. That was a good party.
We recommend all these other names. They're pretty good. Ultra Fresh is good, though.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, the problem, I think, was, like, you know, there wasn't a whole in between open and close. Well, first of all, close was canceled last year, and it was just open. And then there was, like, really not a whole lot.
Pittered out.
Yes. Yes. Pittered out. So, but the good news is this year there's a proper close, and it's a tropical beer-based event in at the Theater on the Lake. That's where Cletus Friedman is now.
So, like a New England IPA fest?
I think it's just, like, a tropical theme in, like, the core.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about that. I don't know much about that, so we'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, but there is a closing ceremony this year.
Okay.
What was your favorite closing ceremony of Chicago Craft Beer Week? Rest in peace, Chicago Craft Beer Week. I'm with Surratt on this. I don't think it's something. I understand the concerns of the suburbs and downstate. I understand that, and I agree with that. But what are we doing, Brad? What are we doing with this,
man?
We
should just start it up.
You're just gonna abandon Chicago Craft Beer Week? Like, I mean, is that what we're doing?
I don't know. There's American Craft Beer Week, right?
There is American Craft Beer Week.
So why isn't that like a month-long thing? And then Illinois Craft Beer Week is also a month thing. And then Chicago Craft Beer Week, Southern Illinois Craft Beer Week, but... That sounds like Justin, too much work for the guild.
When Justin Maynard was with the guild, he would always say that his biggest complaint from people who ran bars was that Chicago Craft Beer Week needed to be in the winter because that's a down season for these bars, you know? And because, like, it's, yeah, you're having it in the spring and that's cool, but it would be better served in the winter. And I think I'm in that camp, you know?
Nobody would go. Oh,
well, that's why they never had it in the winter. But I'm saying, yeah. Like,
oh, if you're going to have a week of beer celebration? That's cool. I'm going to stay home. When are you going to do it in the winter?
I mean, I don't have all the answers, but I'm saying, like,
what, February, maybe? That would be it.
People stay in the house, but there's big parties in the winter. You know,
there are some.
You know,
well, New Year's.
There's New Year's Eve. There's, well, that. But you know that there's very few. There's few, right? But the uppers and downers slash dark side weekend is a pretty big weekend.
Yeah.
You know, FOBAB isn't dead winter, but that weekend it's FOBAB. It's a week long now. FOBAB and then Map Room's anniversary is usually in, mm-hmm. in during the cold. I mean, there's some exceptions. Is all I'm
but
saying.
But that one's sometimes warm.
Sometimes. It's late November, though, Brad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any answers.
Screw you, crappy bar. I don't want to go to you in the winter. You suck. I can buy my beer. This beer cost me $17. I'll drink it at home.
All right, so the closing ceremony to Illinois Craft Beer Week is called the Good Libations Beer Fest. 550 tickets, small and intimate ceremony. And it's a tropical-inspired event, Brad, on May 25th.
This is the same thing you said before.
I don't know what that means. Like, I was looking for more info, and I'm like, well, fuck, what does tropical-inspired mean?
I'm going to go with it's all about the New England IPAs. It's all about the haze. They know that the BA or the Craft Brewers Alliance changed those wordings. So they're all about...
If this Good Libations thing is all about haze, I am there with bells on. I will be there. And yeah, that's a good segue, man. The Brewers Association released their 2018 style guidelines, Brad.
Okay.
So this is revised annually. And the big news, yeah, there was some news about, you know, like the Australian Pale Ale, and there was some news about the Contemporary Pilsner and the Goza. Contemporary Goza is a new thing. Mm. But the big news is that the juicy or hazy category is here to stay, Brad.
Okay.
You know, people are going to, this is a big deal because, you know, someone reminded me online that, like, yo, they made a joke about this on April 1st of 2017 that the BA announced that this was a official style.
Yeah.
So, but it's not a joke. Like, this really is a style now.
Damn. Okay.
So
that's we were talking about it earlier. Hazy, we're holding up this Ghost Tropic if you're not watching the video, but yeah, it's hazy.
Yeah, it's
kind of juicy, more tropical.
Yeah, it's more tropical than haze because the haze, for me, the haze will always be synonymous with like that mimosa, that big
milkshake,
big fruity, dry, drops off and leaves you wanting more every sip. Yeah. That's haze for me.
The homebrew. Right? No,
that's another way of looking at it. No, because I've had, yeah, you're right. There's some brews like when it gets boozy and it leans on like certain types of hops, then it feels like homebrew. Mm-hmm.
And thick.
Yes.
Is thick one of them?
No, thick is not one of the hops that it reminds me of. So juicy or hazy IPA and juicy or hazy pale ale.
Those are new categories.
New categories. And we said, you know, contemporary American pills and contemporary American goes.
Right. They're going to have to add like a classic IPA at this point. Or like a original IPA or like old world IPA.
Or something, right? Because like, there is like, there's English IPA.
Yeah.
And then, but you know, there's similar. American IPA. The two biggest categories the last 4 years were American IPA and double IPA.
But I'm sure all these New England IPAs got tossed into the American IPA category.
Probably.
And what is this anymore, right? It got cloudy.
I see what you did there. I like your style, Brad. So, Brewers Association, but kudos to them, man, for not being, you know, grumpy old men, for expanding their awards and understanding that this is a thing. We talk about it all the time. I love the haze, A, for, you know, the mimosa style, but then also, like, it kind of forces us to get over to breweries that we typically wouldn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go out of your way to go to certain breweries unless they were doing these kind of things. And I'm excited about that. It forces you to go, like super local. Like,
I guess. I'm waiting for, like, the brown ales to come back. The brown craze.
Oh, man.
That's not going to happen. No.
I forgot what I was going to say listening to you right now, man.
Cool. All right. So what else is on the news? What else we got?
Oh, the Old Irving. It's festival season's coming back. I'm excited about that. You know, like overload of parties. This is good. The Old Irving Barbecue and Beer Challenge is back.
Okay.
So this is the, it looks like this is the fifth year. So this is an event on the Northwest side where there's 20 teams. A brewer partners with a pitmaster. And then it's a fundraiser for St. Viator, which is like a Catholic school on the north side.
So this is almost similar to Deering Craft Beer Week. There's the the cage fight at Haymarket. The Beer Fly Alley fight. Where a home brewer pairs with an amateur chef.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is kind of like that.
That is very true.
Cool.
And, you know, reminiscent of Brewpub Shootout, where there's a brewer that partners with, you know, their kitchen.
A restaurant.
They don't have one in the restaurant, yeah. So
cool.
This is a $60 ticket, and those tickets are on sale as well.
Nice.
Let's see. Half Acre's in the news. Half Acre announced a build company last week.
A builder?
Right. So, you know, Half Acre, they make all of their tap handles. Mm-hmm. And when you go to their tap room, you know, all the art pieces, all the fixtures, all the bills, they have a wood shop on premise for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So now they're spinning off that company. So what they want to do is focus on wood shop products, you know, that allows for like machine carving and art pieces. And they want to have collaborations around that. And they want to sell kick-ass like office art pieces to the public.
That's so, pretty cool.
Yeah. So this is cool.
Is it called Half Acre Build? Or?
It's called the Half Acre Build.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called. That's cool. I think those guys, and even when we had the interview up there with Gabriel, he was saying, like, you know, beer walks hand in hand with art. Like, we like creativity and we like art, and that is really what's driving, you know, some of this. That's what's driving this beer thing. Like, if we can't have really fun, you know, like artistic expression with this beer thing, then like we're not as interested.
Okay.
So, and that's cool. I dig that.
Cool. So Half Acre, look for some more art from them soon.
Yeah. Brewers Association, man, they came out with their the BA Top 50. The
Top 50 beers or Top 50 breweries?
Top 50 producers. Top 50 brewery producers in the country.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll go through the five, shall we? Top five?
Give it to me.
Number five.
Sam Adams?
Sam Adams is in there. Sam Adams is number two. But number five is the Duval Group.
Oh.
So that's the crew that bought, what's the crew in Kansas City?
Boulevard.
They bought Boulevard. They also bought Firestone Walker. Mm-hmm. So that collective is number five. Then, of course, the old standbys. I don't think the top four has changed at all. New Belgium at number four, Sierra Nevada number three, Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams number two, and Yuengling number one. To put that in perspective, and what I like about this is that the top 50 overall is AB number one, Miller Coors number two, Constellation Brands number three.
Yeah.
And that includes Ballast Point.
Okay.
And then Heineken number four.
Oh.
And Pabst at number five.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Heineken also includes Lagunitas.
Lagunitas. Yeah, I was going
to. Lagunitas?
I was thinking Häagen-Dazs. I don't know why. You know, because, you know, it's Dutch. Oh, yeah, it includes Lagunitas.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if they did this list, you know, like Lagunitas is the biggest brewery, I think. Lagunitas is the biggest brewery in Chicago.
Yeah, for sure. You
know, so. Oh, but to put it in perspective, man, Yuengling, which is the top brewery on the craft list, is actually number six on the overall list.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So these other, I mean, just to give you an idea of how much beer is being sold out here, I was looking at Pabst and I was like, what the fuck does Pabst? You know, Pabst makes PBR, but then they got like Lone Star is on that list too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I don't ever think about Yuengling because we don't get it here.
I think the closest you can get it to Chicago is Cleveland.
Yeah. And it's not very good.
Yeah, it's okay.
So
yeah, I mean, I had it. I went to Cleveland and had it a few times, only just because of you know I wanted to try
because,
it.
Because
it wasn't here.
Cool. All right. Pretty great list. Okay. What else? Anything else in the news?
Yeah, Wall Street Journal came out with a story about the American Keg Company, and it's important because the American Keg Company is the only keg company in America that uses domestic steel.
Right, so the steel and aluminum tariffs that Trump wants to, or is putting into practice, I don't know.
Yeah, so your boy, the Donald.
What? Is he my boy? That's not. I want that stripped from the record.
This fucking guy. Oh, yeah, the tariffs have forced these guys. They forced domestic steel producers into raising their prices.
Yeah.
You know, because of the tariffs. So this company, the American Keg Company, was forced to cut one third of their workforce recently.
Damn, okay.
In result of Donald's tariffs, man.
That's false, because those tariffs haven't happened yet.
Right, I guess like in, what is it like?
not to defend this guy.
Because he's your boy. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. He's not your boy. He's not your boy.
You can't cut jobs for stuff that hasn't happened yet.
But it sounds like the price of American steel is going up.
Now,
pre-tariffs, it sounds like their justification for cutting a third of their workforce is that the steel's going up and we can't afford to have all these people now because we're buying steel at a higher price. So they let people go now, and they're blaming the Donald.
That's the same as saying like, oh, summer's coming, it's gonna be hot. We can't have I don't know. We can't have people who wear jackets here. You know, it's kind of like I don't know.
Brad's always taking up for the Donald, man. How long am I going to deal with this shit?
That does not. That.
I'm telling you what they said. They're saying, and then, you know, they're saying that their kegs cost $115 per keg. And, you know, the German or Chinese steel is more like $95 a keg.
And but it's going to cost more to come in.
I think they were having issues before this came, before this happened.
So wouldn't it help them, technically? I don't know much about this American steel, and I don't like that they're cutting jobs based on.
I don't like it either.
The idea.
I don't like it either. It sounds like they're cutting jobs because the price, since the tariffs were announced, steel producers in America are charging more for steel.
Okay.
Since the tariffs were announced.
So now it costs more for them to buy it.
And now it's affecting the only American keg producer who's now like cutting people.
Okay. So. What happened to that big craze? Remember there was like that pouch kegs, like those disposable kegs that because these steel kegs, these big kegs that you have to return, it's a hassle. So if you have these biodegradable pouches, basically.
I see them all the time at wine events.
Yeah.
The biodegradable pouches. Yeah. Never see beer people use them. I think I might have gone to Farmhouse Chicago and in their beer closet they had a few. That's the only time I've seen him. I think you're going to see something like that coming forward. Where that's a great, that's actually a really good point. Like there are alternatives to steel kegs. 15.5 gallons. That doesn't have to be steel.
Doesn't have to be in that. They're a pain in the ass to store. They're dangerous.
They keep it cold, Brad. They keep it good and cold. That's the enemy. Number one enemy is heat.
Yeah,
number
but
number two enemy is light to beer, man.
Those pouch kegs are gonna get colder faster. If they did happen to warm up, if you're buying from Binny's your keg for your, you know, your frat party, and you need your Miller Coors, you gotta get those Rockies cold fast. Pouch.
Pouch might be the only way after the Donald is done partying in the White House.
Huh.
Yeah. And finally in news, the wait is over. The Dark Lord Day website is up. We're talking May 19th.
Okay. Which was April 29th or 24th.
And what it used to be the last Saturday in April. Traditionally, that's always how it's been. But, you know, we were talking about beer in a glass, having shitty weather. Dark Lord Day like had a lot of shitty weather.
Always bad, yeah.
Always really bad weather. So they moved it back to Mother's Day
weekend,
basically, right? This year, since the Guild moved their party to 518, now you got Friday Beer in the Glass, you got Saturday Dark Lord Day.
Also, down Dark Lord Day, did they move it? They're in Indiana.
Dark Lord Day was this day last year, though.
Oh.
So it's the Guild. The Guild's usually on a Thursday. Opening ceremony is usually on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's on a Friday this year.
Oh, because they didn't sell tickets last year.
So they're giving it, they get that payday in there.
I know what you guys are doing.
Yeah. The bull's not over our eyes.
I may be drinking, but I know what you're doing.
Yeah. Unlike years past at Dark Lord Day, credit cards only this year.
Okay.
And the website is up. That is a $180 ticket. The variants have not been announced. 53 guest brewers this year.
Wow.
That's got to be a record. So.
Yeah. All right. Whew.
Man,
this is a big episode. We had a lot of news to go through, a lot of beer to talk about, but we should get out of here. Nick, Where can people find you? Get in touch.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. We mentioned the Instagram page at Chicago Beer Pass. Check that out. We posted, I think, almost a photo every day this week, sometimes twice a day. So be sure to like us, follow us up over there. Keep doing stuff there. We're doing other stuff on Anchor. We're doing beer reviews. We may do some bar reviews, things like that. So look for us there. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything, stuff gets posted there. So check it out. And we'll be back next week with more haze. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know what we're drinking next week.
This haze had us like good enough. Feeling real good on this episode.
For sure.
Man.
All right. Take care.
Cheers.